Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER. Click Grainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to The Tool Shed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, we're here to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg.
Welcome into another episode of The Tool Shed with Clegg and Cross, brought to you by Rotoballer. This is episode 354. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Eric Cross, and with me, as usual, is my 80 gray co-host, Mr. Chris Clegg. Chris, do you have any Juan Soto rumors you want to share?
Well, I think we're going to get a signing while recording it. It's highly possible over the next hour, as we're recording this on Sunday night, that Soto signs. I think it's the Yankees. We'll see. But I'm leaning the Yankees get him here.
Yeah, I've been thinking New York from the get-go. I've kind of gone back and forth on which of the two New York teams gets him. But, I mean, the Yankees seem more confident now. I saw that report from, I think it was Morosi saying, or is it Heyman? I forget. I think it was actually Heyman that was saying that Red Sox seem less confident in the lobby of winter, at the hotel at the winter meetings. Yankees seem more confident than they have. So I think the Yankees are picking up steam. Obviously, the Mets have been kind of the favorite for the most part for the last few weeks, but we'll see. Well, yeah, it's currently 8:50 on the East right now, so we'll see if we get one before the end of the episode. And maybe if the Red Sox somehow pull this out in the 11th hour, I'll be very happy in the middle of a podcast. But we are talking not outfielders and Soto today. We are talking catchers in part two of our catcher dynasty and prospect rankings. Hitting the dynasty side today, did the prospects last episode, episode 353. So if you missed that, go back and check that out. A lot of great talk in there and a lot of other fun catchers today. Like, this position has actually gotten pretty good, you know, over the last handful of years, and several more notable prospects on the way that will probably debut at some point this year. So the position keeps getting better and better. But before we get into that, the usual housekeeping. You can find us on Twitter. Well, for myself, I'm on Twitter and Blue Sky at AirCrossMLB. Chris is at ChrisCleggMILB on Twitter and at ChrisClegg on Blue Sky. If you enjoy this podcast, please rate and review. Make sure to check out both of our personal platforms, thedynastydugout.com and toolshedfantasy.com for more from each of us. All of our rankings live over there, and we're doing a lot more team positional, a lot of fun stuff on both of those platforms. And make sure you check out all the great content over on Rotoballer. Use the code TOOLSHED at checkout. Get you 10% off any premium package over at rotoballer.com. So we got a lot of great baseball content up there, plenty of football, basketball, you name it. Rotoballer's got it. All right, Chris, let's start off with our top 10 personal rankings here on the dynasty side. Who you got in your top 10?
All right, yeah, this is a fun group for sure. I had William Contreras at one. I feel like that might be consensus at this point, but then followed by Adley Rutschman, Yiner Diaz, Samuel Basayo, and Cal Raleigh to round out the five. So a little different five than most people probably have. But then I've got Francisco Alvarez, Will Smith, Shea Langeliers, Dalton Rushing, and Logan Ohapi rounding out the top 10.
All right, yeah, I also have William Contreras at one. I've had that. I think that switch happened maybe a year ago. I can't remember when I moved Contreras to the one. But, yeah, I think it is. If it's not consensus, it's pretty close to it right now. He's very deserving, number one. I have Yiner Diaz, two. Adley Rutschman at three. I still got Will Smith at four. I think people are a little bit down on him right now. Sammy Basayo at five. Cal Raleigh at six. Logan Ohapi at seven. Wilson Contreras at eight. Francisco Alvarez at nine. And Austin Wells rounding out my top 10. But it's a pretty big glob in my rankings here. Like the back end of that top 10 plus, you know, probably three, four more names are all in that same tier. So definitely a lot of names that could have been put in there that are very close. But let's start near the top there at the 2-3. You know, I have Diaz 2. You have Adley at 2. I think they're both, you know, very, very close here. But what do you... What's your reasoning behind putting Adley at 2 over Diaz? And are you at all concerned with, you know, maybe Adley not being the stud that we thought? You know, he's been good, don't get me wrong, but and I, you know, obviously still have him in top 3 as well. But last year was kind of a little bit lackluster, but there was also an injury. Kind of how are you weighing all of that with Adley right now?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not particularly worried about his numbers last year. And then, you know, I get it. He's a compiler. He played a lot, which is a positive thing, I would say. So I would take that as a good thing that he plays so much. But I think he still put together a good year. He had 19 home runs. He hit 250. So, like, you know, if that's bad for some people, then I don't really know what to tell you. From the catcher position, he still gives you plenty of value. It is interesting to kind of look, obviously, compared to 2023, it was a bit down. Everything was down when you look at like contact rates, you look at exit velocities, you look at bat speed, you look at consistent launch angles, and all those kind of changed pretty drastically, which is weird to see. He chased a lot more this year. He was more aggressive. He whiffed more. You kind of look across the board and, you know, you have to wonder like what happened, especially in the second half, because, you know, the second half was really, really bad. So I think ultimately, you know, I think that he's going to be fine. I do think that, you know, injury certainly affected him, and I think that could see a big bounce back in 2025 from him. I mean, he still put together a really solid season. You know, three WAR season is pretty impressive. All things considered, obviously the good start to the year, April through June, were really good, and I think that we see a lot of those numbers trend in the right direction. So, yeah, we know what Adley's capable of. I mean, we've seen it in the past. You don't expect someone who was 25 just to fall off like that in a lot of ways without something else going on. So I'm kind of taking that approach that I still believe the best from Adley has yet to come. With Diaz, it's an interesting profile. Like, he's the most aggressive hitter that we'll find. He chases at absurd rates, but yet the amount of contact he makes is still really impressive. So it's weird to find a hitter that can do and make that kind of profile work. He improved his zone contact rate last year's 86%, which is rather good. And the overall contact rate was better. It's still not great thanks to the amount of chase and the O contact. I mean, he chased at a 43% clip and had a sub 60% contact rate on pitches out of the zone. That makes sense. So naturally, the overall contact is going to be lower when you're swinging that much. One of the highest swing rates in baseball is 59%. MLB averages about 47% swing rate. So, you know, certainly interesting comparison. First pitch swing, Yiner Diaz, 45%. MLB average 30%. So, you know, the aggressiveness is good in some ways, but obviously not great in some other ways. So, you know, you look at the profile, yeah, he hits the ball hard. You know, the launch angles are fine. It's not like the best, like he's like average, like sweet spot rate. He's kind of below average barrel wise. So it's just an interesting profile where I think that ultimately, like, it depends on your league type, I guess. Like, Adley's a much better play in an OBP league, in my opinion, or even a points league. You know, Diaz, he's going to give you batting average, and we've seen that for two straight seasons now. They're the same age. I think I personally believe there's a little more juice in Adley's bat, even though we did see a pretty big power outburst for Diaz in 2023. The home run total was down on a per plate appearance basis in 2024, probably closer to what I would expect. So, you know, all that to say, like, I don't think they're that far apart. I think I may have them back to back in my overall rankings, but I just believe that Adley's best is still yet to come.
You're probably right. You know, Diaz obviously is the really perplexing profile. I mean, it almost reminds me of, you know, I'm not making a direct comparison, but the fact that putting so much contact outside the zone, like with that high of a swing rate, you know, with someone like a Vladimir Guerrero who just swung at everything but still hit for high averages, even though I would love to see like chase rates of Vladimir Guerrero Sr. It would have been insane. But Diaz makes it work with the contact rate, and you mentioned the high in-zone contact rate, which went up about 3.5% from 2023. Overall, contact rate went up 3.5% as well, so nice little bump in both of those. K rate's been coming down consistently, but walk rate has stayed low with 24% last year. The reason why I have Diaz slightly ahead, I'm just wondering if there's going to be a bounce back in the power department. I mean, like, he went from 23 home runs in 377 plate appearances in 2023 to 16 in 619 plate appearances last year. He was still hitting the ball, you know, hard. EV basically the same. Hard hit rate even went up about 3.5%, but barrel rate went down nearly 5% from 12.2% to 7.6%. You know, launch angle went down. Ground ball rate went up about 7% from 44 to 51. So I want to see if he can correct that. As I do think if he does, he's still going to be ahead of Adley. But yeah, I have them very close as well. And I do think Adley is going to, you know, bounce back to some degree. I don't think Adley is a 250 hitter. I don't think he's a 318 OBP guy. I mean, we saw him at 362, 374 with that OBP. You know, you see the contact rates. They are good. Zone is even better, both zone and overall, a few ticks better than Yiner Diaz. So if Adley gets that average back up, he could get back ahead of Yiner. I think it's very close. Maybe they go back and forth. I think they're the easy 2-3 right now, whichever order you have them, behind Contreras, and then we drop down a little bit. Another one here that seems to have had the perceived value drop a bit, which I'm kind of perplexed by, because he didn't have a bad year, and that's Will Smith. The average OBP, like the slash line was down from previous years, but Smith still had 77 runs, still had 20 home runs, hit 248, 327, 433. And you look at the, you know, metrics, quality of contact was still in line with previous years. Barrel rate even went up 4%, back to where it usually is in the, you know, 10.5%, 11% range after dropping to 6.7 in 2023. You know, still had a, you know, above average, you know, or better than league average, I should say. Strikeout rate still was walking a decent amount, even though that was down a bit. Contact rates were in line with previous years as well. So why do you think there's such a, you know, perceived value drop with Will Smith right now, Chris? Like, I think he's a good buy low. If you can get him for 90 cents on the dollar right now, still only 29 years old, been pretty consistent in terms of plate appearances, right in that 550 give or take range. Obviously, he's in a phenomenal lineup that will always be phenomenal as long as he's there throughout his careers. I don't know. I think Will Smith's a sneaky little buy right now if you can get it.
Yeah, you know, his profile's interesting when you kind of look at it. He'll be 30 this year, so that's obviously a thing. Like, catcher, and it's weird because at one point, not long ago, I feel like Will Smith was one of the younger catchers in the league that everybody was kind of buzzing about. But,
right,
you know, now entering his age 30 season, when does decline happen? To me, it looks like he needs more days off, at least from behind the plate. Maybe that's Dalton Rushing can do that. I mean, they've had Austin Barnes kind of backing him up. But, you know, it is interesting to see, because his contact rates were pretty in line with what we were used to in the past. Last year, he did chase a tad more, but still better than league average chase rate, 26%. Well, that has trended up the last 3 years. I won't say that's the reason that his profile has been affected. It's really the bat at ball distribution for me is interesting. While he did hit more fly balls this year, it was actually less line drives, which is, you know, more conducive to good batting average. He's pulled the ball much less over the last 3 years. We've seen that decline. And so it almost seems like to me, and we don't have bat speed data like going back to previous seasons, but his bat speed, 6th percentile this year at 68 miles an hour, my best assumption is that his bat speeds regressed each of the last 3 years, just given the fact that he's pulling a lot less balls. The batted ball distribution is just not as good. It's inconsistent. We're seeing a lot more just he's hitting under the ball. So I think that that's playing a part too. You know, you look and Fastballs, he's been fine with. I mean, he's hit fastballs fine. Against breaking and off speed, there's certainly more whiffs. The batting averages against those, not great. The XBA on breaking balls was much lower than his actual. So that's been interesting to follow and see. And while the exit velocities have remained pretty steady, the barrel rate's still good. Like, his barrel rate was solid last year, 10.8%. That'll play. But seeing the bat speed dip is just a little strange to me. And he's actually, it's just a weird profile where, you know, Smith's catching metrics are all over the board. Like,
and I noticed that too. It's like, yeah, either really good or really bad.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's weird to see. And I think Smith's, like, he's not moving off position or anything. They've got him locked into a long-term deal. I just kind of wonder, like, I think it's like an average bat and he's a little below average behind the plate. So, you know, could he benefit from more days off and be better? Yeah, I think the numbers look better with, you know, less plate appearances, less wear and tear on his body. Maybe that's where rushing takes some time from him. That would be beneficial to all parties, I think. So we'll see. Yeah, I mean, I'm certainly a little lower on him having him 7. I think there's a buying opportunity here, but the trajectory has not been great over the last few years.
I mean, yeah, I don't think he's going to jump back up into, you know, the potential C1 debate, like where I think he was a few years ago. He was right in that, you know, maybe he was number one for a little bit. I think I might have had him number one,
yeah,
dynasty catcher for, you know, maybe, you know, part of a season. I can't remember when or how long it was, but I remember at least having him there or debating it for sure. Just, yeah, I think he's still got a few good years left, but obviously, you know, he's like you mentioned, he's going to be 30. Did he already turn 30 or is he 30 soon?
I think he's going to turn 30 soon.
Yeah, so he'll play next year 30, which, yeah, is not like terribly old. We still see Contreras still hitting well, Salvi still hitting well, but yeah, definitely. I think there's a good buying opportunity. So I'd be looking to, if I was a contending team, I'd be looking to get some Will Smith if I can get him for any sort of a discount. There's actually another, you know, old guy here we have on the list, and that's Wilson Contreras, who I just kind of mentioned. He's actually moving off the position, so probably the last year we can talk about him, but I think he's in for a really big year. I mean, his numbers have been always pretty good. Like, the metrics with Wilson Contreras have been consistently good. I mean, contact, you know, it's below average, but quality of contact has been very good. He's been consistently over 10% barrel rate, EV, you know, 91 mile an hour range, hard hit rate, you know, a little below. He's always been in the upper 50% range. So you got to wonder if, you know, more time outside of, you know, behind the plate, excuse me, over at first base, DH. Yeah, he's 32. Yeah, he'll lose eligibility this year more than likely. Sounds like this is like a clean move him off the position, not like, you know, a little bit catcher here and there. So more so a first baseman moving forward. But I think you could see a really big year from him. And he had a good year last year, 262, 380, 468. You know, was limited to 358 plate appearances, but had 15 home runs in those plate appearances. So, you know, if he can get more like 550 to 600 plate appearances this year, as opposed to, you know, he was really in that upper 400 range, 483, 487, 495, respectively, in 2021, 2, and 3. You know, if you get him up on another 50 to 100 plate appearances, less wear and tear, you know, I think, at least for the short term, I think this could be a nice, you know, value boost for a guy like Wilson Contreras. You know, obviously, if you're not a contending dynasty team, you know, at 32, you know, I think soon to be 33-year-old catcher who's moving off the position isn't really going to interest you or make sense for you. But for a contending team, you know, still have the eligibility this year, or you can use him at first base as well once he gains eligibility there. I think as a short-term, you know, rental of sorts, I think Wilson Contreras is a great target right now. What are your thoughts here on Contreras and this move off of catcher, Chris?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's fine. Like, he'll have eligibility this year. His second half last year was one of the better ones in baseball, honestly. Like, he, yeah, put up some pretty absurd numbers, and it was just a solid year overall for him. You know, the surface numbers were fine, but, you know, you look at under the hood, and in the second half last year, I mean, he had a near 93 mile an hour average EV. He had a good barrel rate, good hard hit rate. Like, there was a lot of things to like in the profile that I thought could be a good sticking point carrying over to this year. And now you take the pressure off the body catching, and that only helps, in my opinion. I mean, I think that we could certainly see him have a really good year. And the cost, the price tag on him is pretty low in redraft and probably even lower for Dynasty, considering he'll turn 33 in May. But again, that creates a good buying opportunity. Like, he hit 15 homers in 358 plate appearances last year. I don't see any reason why he shouldn't be able to get to 550 plus plate appearances this year, given that he's going to play first base. And who knows, he may hit 25 to 28 home runs and do it with pretty solid number, like, you know, slash line. So I think if you're a contender, you need a catcher, like, this might be the guy. Even though it might only be a one-year move at the catcher position, this is kind of like a league-winning type, in my opinion, just given that he has a chance to play, I think, the most he's ever played at any point in his career.
Yeah, I mean, his previous career high was 544, or his current career high, I should say, 144 plate appearances back in 2018 when he was still with the Cubs. And yeah, that was his only year over 500. Like I mentioned, a few years in those upper, you know, 480 to 490 range. But yeah, I think this could be, next couple of years, I think it could be nice, you know, contention. And if you're, again, contending, you want that first baseman, that's which is where he's going to be, 25, 30 home runs. I mean, he hit 22 and 20 in under 500 plate appearances in 2022, 23. You know, the slug, he had 21 in 2021 as well. He's always been in that low 20 range, while only playing 115, 120, whatever games. Yeah, give him another 20, 25 games, another, you know, 100 or so plate appearances. I think you're in for a really nice year from Contreras if you can stay healthy, which hopefully, I mean, this is what the move is for. This is starting to get him to stay healthy and keep that bat pretty good for the next couple of years for St. Louis. All right, let's move over to some of the young guns, though. One in particular who, former top prospect that just hasn't lived up to the, you know, the hype, at least not fully so far. Francisco Alvarez of the New York Mets, still only 23 years old right now, but first two full years for him, some good, some bad. But again, I think underwhelming is fair to say at this point. 25 home runs in 423 plate appearances in 2023, but only hit 209 with a 284 OBP. Then up the average in OBP about 25 or so points on both sides to 237 and 307. But only had 11 home runs in 342 plate appearances last year. Quality of contact went down last year. Barrel rate was nearly cut in half from 13% to 6.5%. EV went down about a mile and a half. Hard hit rate, 3%. As he was hitting more ground balls. I mean, at the same time, though, contact rates have improved a bit. They're still below average, but have improved, and definitely better than where they were, which was, you know, concerning levels in 2023 and before that. What do you make of Alvarez at this point, Chris? I mean, obviously there's still, you know, he shows glimpses of that talent that made him one of the top prospects in baseball a few years ago. You know, max EV is good. He can hit the ball hard. But does he ever reach elite status at this point? I don't know. I have a hard time seeing that. I mean, I think he's still be like a starting caliber catcher for dynasty purposes. But in terms of being that elite guy, I just don't see it. But I don't know. Maybe you do.
I mean, he just turned 23, so you know that's obviously a big thing. I mean, he spent the entire season as a 22-year-old. He debuted at 20, so a catcher, it's just such a different progression as far as the development process for that player. And I think that there's so many things to, you know, work on that it can be tough on them at times. Now, is Alvarez best suited behind the plate? Yeah. Maybe. I mean, he's a good framer. He's got good pops, but he's a terrible blocker. And so obviously that factors in. It's almost as if like he was just going through some stuff like this year, just looking at the kind of pretty much all the numbers, like the barrel rate was cut in half. That's notable. There was a pretty notable drop in average exit velocity. He still topped out at 115, which is encouraging. You mentioned the ground balls, and that's obviously notable as well, and certainly something that affected him. I still fully believe in this profile. I think that Alvarez has to clean up against breaking balls, and I think that's one of the issues you saw. Like, he can absolutely obliterate fastballs, but against breaking balls, it's certainly a struggle. And comparative to 2023, Perez saw about a 6% increase in the amount of breaking balls that he was thrown. And I think that largely affected. He had 159 against breaking balls this year, and he got thrown breaking balls about 37-38% of the time. He had a 167 XBA against breaking balls and a 246 slug. Whiff rate, 36%. So very high there. I also think that was another reason that we saw the ground ball rate go up. He's getting breaking balls down. In doing so, he then is pounding them into the ground. So the interesting thing to look at with Alvarez is he also pulled way less balls. He saw the pull rate drop pretty notably, about 5 percentage points. So that stands out. He went opposite field 9% more often. That's weird to look at and see, honestly. So, you know, I think at the end of the day, you look at the player, you see how young he is, and we know that there's monster power in this profile. I don't think there's ever been any questioning of Alvarez's ability to get to power. It's just, you know, how would he actualize it? Would he make enough contact? That was kind of always the question. And so for me, seeing the contact rates improve are pretty notable. Now, they could be better, but, you know, still, he did see a substantial improvement last year. It's still slightly below average, but to see the jump, I thought, okay, that's pretty good. Now, what does the profile look like this year? We've seen kind of two full seasons, and it's like, all right, where is this? Who is this guy? Like, what will we see? And for this year, I would say, yeah, it might still be a wild card. Like, could he hit? I think he's going to hit 20 home runs. What kind of batting average do we get? Yeah, I think that it's reasonable to think that he hits 240, just given the improvements that we've seen year over year, with 20 home runs. And we know there's more juice than that. I think he can easily get to 25. But long term, like, I'm not particularly worried about this profile. And I actually think that, you know, Alvarez will be fine. He showed some good power in the postseason. 3 home runs and 50 plate appearances. The OPS of 777 was actually pretty improved on what we had seen during the regular season. So I think he ended out the season on a positive note, which was good. And hopefully we see that bounce back. But I still fully buy into Francisco Alvarez's profile and think that it's certainly one that you could buy low on at this point and probably get a pretty good value.
So you do think he can still become an elite fantasy asset?
Yeah, I mean, it depends. Like, I don't know. I don't really put a lot of catchers in there, but he can be valuable. I mean, I think that he could give you seasons where he hits 25 to 30 home runs, but he may hit 240. So, like, I don't think that's elite, but I think that's pretty valuable coming out of the catcher position. Like, I mean, look at what Cal Raleigh did last year.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think that's unreasonable to think that Alvarez could have a season like that. You know, I mean, 34 home runs is a lot, but he's hit 220 at the same time. Like, is that a peak season for Alvarez? Potentially. You know, I think 34 is a lot to ask for any hitter, but, you know, 30 home runs and a 230, 240 average, I think is absolutely on the table.
Yeah. I was going to meant more so like elite at this position, not like.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't even know if William Contreras, he's probably the only one I would say is elite in terms of overall, not even looking at the position, but. Yeah, I guess I've always been a little more skeptical on Alvarez. I mean, I still think he's going to be top 10. So let me just say that. I don't think he's going to be bad by any means, but I think I'm going to have him, you know, I think, or I envision him, I should say, being more in that 6-10 range than more of a top 5 guy. But we'll see. I mean, there's definitely the upsides there. Like, I'm not writing that off as a possibility. Well, definitely has the upside for sure if he can put it all together. Same with this guy. It's kind of an interesting profile, this next player, Logan Ohapi. Who we both had in, I believe we both had him in our top 10s, right? Yeah, you had him at 10. I have him at 7. So in terms of these two young guys or younger guys, Ohapi, I have 7, Alvarez 9. Chris has Alvarez at 6, Ohapi at 10. You know, Ohapi, I think, has always been like a, you know, maybe not a favorite, but one that we've always liked a bit just because we saw, you know, a little bit of the breakout of sorts in the minor league. So we saw him out in the AFL, both Chris and I. Now he's in the majors, and the profile has been, you know, kind of different than what we thought it would be. I mean, when Ohapi was in the minors, he was always, you know, like, elite approach. So you thought he was going to be, you know, higher OBP guy. That really hasn't been the case. His OBP is currently 303 through his first 737 plate appearances, which is what it was last year as well. He had 244 last year, 243 for his career. But did have 20 home runs last year. Quality of contact has been good. But the K rate has jumped up each of the last 2 years, almost 30% last year, while having a walk rate just above 6%. Contact rates, like Alvarez, are below average. I think even his overall is lower than Alvarez's is. And now you got Travis d'Arnaud out there. And d'Arnaud, as I mentioned previously, he may be one of the best backup catchers in the history of this game. So I wonder, you know, you got to wonder how much he eats in Ohapi's playing time. How are you valuing Ohapi right now, Chris? Do you think he's, you know, going to be trending up this year, trending down? What are your thoughts on him?
Yeah, I mean, he's an interesting one for sure. I think that, honestly, I expect that we see him trend up. You know, it was an interesting tale of, like, two halves for Ohapi. Really, even the final just, like, 2 months where he just struggled so badly. And that really affected him. You know, I think that having d'Arnaud come in is actually a good thing for Ohapi, who does struggle against lefties. It's kind of interesting. I think that it could be an interesting platoon situation here. I mean, Ohapi was more than fine all year against righties, but against lefties, you know, it was pretty rough overall. Slash line against righties, 264, 310, 433. And against lefties, it was 167, 279, 313. So pretty notable difference. And the first and second half splits were a big deal as well. You look in the first half, and Ohapi hit 14 home runs, 276 average. Second half, just 6 of those home runs, and he was below the Mendoza line. Now, I also think that there were reports that he was playing through an injury, which is pretty notable too. He had a concussion apparently, and that was pretty telling in my opinion. Like, I would have to look and figure out, like, locate exactly when that happened, but that seems to be kind of telling to me if he was dealing with a concussion and it just affected him, like, pretty much all year. So you never know. Like, sometimes those symptoms do linger. I mean, I'm looking at this and kind of thinking that there was certainly some underlying injury issues that affected his ability to perform. And the numbers kind of back that. There's also, I'm watching a video right now where he just took a foul ball to the crotch. Like, well, that didn't look good either. So,
ow.
Yeah. So he definitely was dealing with some stuff throughout the year. I think he bounces back. I mean, I'm a big Ohapi fan. Like, a lot of the data was good prior to the injury too. So, or prior to the downfall. Say, I don't have an exact pinpoint on an injury or anything like that, but we did see the notable downfall. But yeah, I think Ohapi is going to be a really solid starter next year. Obviously, we know Travis d'Arnaud always takes people's playing times. It always happened with Sean Murphy. He's just always there. But yeah, at the end of the day, like, I think Ohapi is going to benefit from this move. He's not going to have to be the guy every single day. And I think that 20 home runs is still in the cards and a respectable average. They hit 250 with 20 home runs, and that'll play. So I still believe in the skill set, and I still believe in Ohapi too.
Yeah, I'm kind of there. I think it might even be more power. I mean, we saw him. He hit 20 last year in 522 plate appearances, but he hits the ball at ideal angles. He's definitely above average quality of contact. So I got to wonder, you know, maybe he gets up into the mid-20s, you know, 25, 26, something like that. You know, I don't think 30. You know, obviously, you don't see that very often from catchers in general. But, yeah, I think you could see an uptick in the average OBP. I don't think that what we saw from him in the minor leagues in terms of his approach was a fluke. Approach, especially over a couple of years, was pretty good for Ohapi. So, you know, maybe he doesn't get back to that. But do I think he's going to be, you know, 6.3% walk and 29.7% strikeout rate again? No, I'd bet money on both those improving, whether it's just, you know, minimally. You know, maybe he's 8.5% walk and 26% K or something like that. I see that bouncing back, or even back to like 2023 levels when it was 7 and 24.1 respectively. So, yeah, I do think average ticks up, you know, 250 to 255 range, something like that, 25 home runs. And another guy that I think is going to be, you know, not in the tier one of catchers, but tier two, I think is definitely reasonable for a place for him to stick moving forward. All right, let's keep it going here with our, you know, 11 through 25 with the recap, top 10s. Chris had William Contreras, Adley Rutschman, Yiner Diaz, Samuel Basayo, Cal Raleigh, Francisco Alvarez, Will Smith, Shea Langeliers, Dalton Rushing, Logan Ohapi. I had William Contreras, Ener Diaz, Adley Rutschman, Will Smith, Sammy Basayo, Cal Raleigh, Logan Ohapi, Wilson Contreras, Francisco Alvarez, and Austin Wells. 11 through 25 for me is Shea Langeliers, JT Realmuto, Dalton Rushing, Salvador Perez, Tyler Stevenson, Sean Murphy, Augustin Ramirez, Kyle Teal, Gabriel Moreno, Ryan Jeffers at 20, Ivan Herrera, Moises Ballesteros, Drake Baldwin, Joey Bart, and Adrian Del Castillo round up my 25. Chris, who you got in your 11 through 25?
Yeah, starting out with Wilson Contreras, then Salvador Perez, the ageless wonder, Austin Wells, JT Realmuto, and Sean Murphy, 16 through 20, Tyler Stevenson, Moises Ballesteros, Kyle Teal, Gabriel Moreno, and Drake Baldwin, Augustin Ramirez, Jefferson Caro, Adrian Del Castillo, Joey Bart, and Edgar Caro. I do want to note, like, I put in these rankings the other day, and I did a little digging, and actually like Alejandro Kirk on a bounce back. Like, I feel like he's got an identical profile to Moreno, who had it 19. So, and I think that Alejandro Kirk belongs on this list. He slimmed up. He had a really good second half. His underlying metrics are literally identical to Gabriel Moreno, and he's still young. Like, I think he's still 25. So, like, Kirk is probably somebody that needs to be on that list. Excuse me, he just turned 26, but, you know, same point. He's still young, and I think that, you know, we see that bounce back from Kirk, given just everything looked so good.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of fatigue that's set in on Alejandro Kirk. I mean, he obviously hasn't been great the last couple of years on the surface, but, yeah, he's definitely one that's always – I've never been fully out on Kirk. I mean, I dropped him down my ranking, sure. Didn't really target him last year in either redraft or dynasty, but definitely never was fully out on Kirk's, and still think there's some upside there, like you mentioned. So, yeah, he's definitely still an interesting profile for sure. And then Salvador Perez, I mean, we're not going to get super deep into him here, but I mean, I saw some people talking about his, you know, not to get off topic for more than a minute here, but his candidacy, I hate that word, for the Hall of Fame, you know, down the road. I mean, You look at it, and yeah, he's gonna be, you know, he's already approaching 300 home runs. He's gonna be over 1,000 RBI probably this year as well. He's 84 away, and if he has another year like last year, he'll be over 300 and 1,000. So if he gets to, you know, 370 home runs, 1,200, 1,300, 1,400 RBI, I mean, I think there's at least a shot of him getting into the Hall of Fame. Do I think he gets in? Probably not, but he's definitely been one of the better offensive catchers in probably the history of baseball that doesn't get talked about in that regard, I think.
But yeah, he's been awesome. I mean, every year I feel like he's going to fall off. It's like I need to avoid him
right
in fantasy because he's old. He's going to turn 35 in May, but man, he just keeps almost getting better. Like 2024 season was awesome, and he's so like durable. The fact that he's just continually stayed on the field and put up big plate appearance totals, like, it's just been impressive to see for Sal Perez. I mean, you're right. I mean, his career has been incredible. I didn't realize he's 273 home runs. He had that big 48 home run season, obviously. He's going to get to 300. Probably, it could be this year. Good, pretty solid metrics all around. Yeah, is he a Hall of Famer? I don't know, but it's at least a fun discussion if he continues to perform and he plays to 40 and is good. You know, it could certainly, he might push
right
370 home runs. It's completely realistic in my opinion.
I mean, I probably wouldn't vote for him. I mean, I have to see where his career ends up, but you know, I always have a higher standard, I think, than most for the Hall of Fame. It's called the Hall of Fame, not the Hall of Good. Right. I think a lot of these guys that got in, I'm just like, I don't think they should have, but so I probably wouldn't, but it's definitely one of the better offensive catchers I've seen in my lifetime for sure. Well, I want to see where he's. I'm going to look after we finish recording where he's kind of at in terms of home runs all time for catchers, RBI, and stuff like that. See how high up the list he's getting. But we're going over to a different power hitting catcher here, and one that is roughly, how old is he? Oh, he's not a decade younger. He's about 6 years younger. But Shea Langeliers had a nice little breakout year, which really kind of started in 2023. Had 22 home runs. Then in 490 plate appearances, but only hit 205. 2024 hit 29 in 534 plate appearances for the Athletics. Slash line still not great. At least the average in OBP 224, 288, but a 450 slug, which is nice there. And moving into a more hitter-friendly ballpark, you know, this upcoming year as well. I mean, Langeliers is one where he was never, I mean, Chris, obviously, you know, he came up through the Braves system for a bit and we covered him back then. Never, I don't think anybody ever thought, like, if you told me that he'd hit 29 home runs in a season, I would have thought you were crazy. I never thought he'd get to that level. And I thought he actually hit for a higher average than he did. So his profile has kind of shifted a bit over the years, too. Now he's 27 years old. And, you know, the power seems to be legit. I mean, the last couple of years, been, you know, well above average quality of contact. Don't think he's ever hit for much average. But, the, you know, zone contact rate was 80%. Below average, but not, like, terrible. So maybe you can see a little bit of an uptick. But maybe he can be, you know, not quite as high as Cal Raleigh, but maybe like a, you know, Cal Raleigh light of sorts. And again, I think he's still being underrated a little bit, and I think I'm even guilty of that as well. Maybe he should be higher than where I have. Maybe he should be a top 10 guy. I mean, you have him top 10.
Yeah. First, breaking news. The Dodgers sign an outfielder, Michael Conforto.
I was about to say, oh my word, Twitter, whatever you would call it.
Yeah, it melt.
Social media in general. It was going to break if that was so.
$17 million. That's weird. That tells me Teoscar Hernandez probably doesn't go back. So, yeah, it'd be interesting to see. He may end up with Boston. We'll see.
That's kind of a weird signing.
Yeah.
I don't understand it, but maybe there's something else up their sleeve. But
I mean, 1 year, $17 million, he's got to play at that price tag. So,
right.
You know, that's not cheap. But back to Shea Langeliers. Yeah, I mean, he was a glove first guy. Which is interesting because he's not a glove first or even that solid of a glove anymore. Like, you know, he's solid pop. He throws out, like, he definitely throws out runners, but, you know, blocking, not great. Framing, not great. Not that any of that matters, but we have seen the evolution of his bat, which is pretty good. This is going to be his age 27 season. He's progressively gotten better year over year. We're looking at now two straight seasons of 13% barrel rates, like, that's pretty elite numbers, so that'll play. Good average exit velocity last year, really good ninth percentile EV, really good sweet spot percentage. Or, you know, I think that, you know, Langeliers now looks like an actual threat with his bat. You're at 420x Wobicons. Talk about, that's borderline elite, too. Yeah, he swings and misses, strikes out at a higher clip, but I don't really care at the end of the day, given that he's giving you so much juice. He's young and he's going to a minor league ballpark where he's absolutely going to mash. He is going to be in great hitting environments for like the foreseeable future in Sacramento and then in Las Vegas. I think he's absolutely just going to hit the cover off the ball. And we know Oakland wasn't a great place to hit. He had 13 home runs in Oakland last year. I think that he could absolutely thrive in this new environment in Sacramento. And the fact that he's just improved like he has, like, I mean, he wasn't all that different from Cal Raleigh last year. And so, you know, I look at this profile and I think the Langeliers, you know, he's certainly deserving to be valued as, you know, I'm curious. I had to look where he's going. He's going as catcher 9 on FBC, 125 ADP. Obviously that's a little skewed just given, you know, the FBC, but catcher 9 is kind of where it looks at. So I had him at 8 for Dynasty. Go higher, maybe. Like, if I think he stands a chance to repeat it, I really like Langeliers and the evolution that we've seen in his bat.
I mean, yeah, you kind of have to after seeing how hard he's hit the ball over the last couple of years. I mentioned he's been EV above 90 miles an hour, barrel rate right in that 13% range, hard hit rate around 44%. I mean, yeah, he's probably never going to hit higher than, you know, maybe he gets in the 230, 240 range. I don't think he's ever hit higher than 240, but, you know, he's. Maybe hits, you know, 32, 33 home runs. If he sticks at this level of quality of contact and a better hitter's park, yeah, I think you could see him go over 30 home runs this year. So I think I even have him a little bit low. I mean, he does struggle, you know, pretty hard against velocity. I mean, you saw him not do well against pitches that were, you know, 95 miles an hour or higher last year. He only hit, what was it? I said 136 against fastballs, 95 miles. Well, I should say fastballs, but mostly are fastballs. But I guess just pitches 95 miles an hour or higher. You know, a couple other guys low in that area. Austin Wells, Bo Naylor, both in that 130 range as well. But he hits breaking ball is pretty good. Slugging against breaking ball and off speed was actually both well higher than the slugging against fastball, so kind of makes up for it there. But yeah, I think Lingoliers is, you know, he's legit. I mean, he's legit as a power hitter, probably a top 10 option, and I think I need to bump him up a spot or two in my rankings for sure. Let's see, player on the docket here, someone that Chris talked about or alluded to a little bit earlier on the show, Gabriel Moreno. I think a lot of people are still kind of waiting for him to break out, and should we stop waiting for that breakout? I mean, he's still very young, and he's still only 24 years old. I mean, the contact rates are very, very good. We've seen that, even though it did tick down a little bit last year, still near elite contact rates, both in zone and overall. You know, the approach is elite. He had 11.7% walk rate, 18.8% strikeout rate last year. And, you know, he does hit the ball fairly hard. It's not like it's bad quality of contact. It's just always, you know, in the ground or more of like a line drive. Doesn't really get a lot of loft under the ball. So is he always just going to be this, you know, higher average and OBP guy that is only hitting, you know, anywhere from 5 to 10 or 11 home runs? I mean, his career high is only 7 right now, so he hasn't even hit 10 yet. I don't know, still young, still got the like, but do we ever see that full breakout, do you think, Chris?
No, I mean, I don't really think so. It's the average exit velocity is good. It's above average, but, you know, his launch angles just aren't great at all. I mean, the sweet spot percentage is pretty low. It's just an uneven distribution of batted balls where he's consistently running 50% ground ball rates. And, you know, that 50% last year was a career low by 5 percentage points. So could we see more? I don't know. It's really hard to lower that much more, in my opinion, to go from a 55% ground ball rate down to 45%. That would be a big jump for a 2-year progression. He also hit more fly balls, but also more pop-ups, which not great. And he can't pull the ball. The bat speed's just not there, and he has no ability to pull the ball. Like, you know, he's 10% below league average on pull rate. And so I don't think that he's going to get to that power. The hit tool, sure, it's good. Like, love to see the contact rates, obviously. You like to see the average EV, but that just doesn't paint the whole picture of a player. The ex-Wobicon 331 is really bad. That's well below average, probably in the 30 grade range if we're throwing a 2080 scouting grade on it. I just almost want to bet on Alejandro Kirk. Like, they make similar contact. Kirk, you know, in the second half at least, we saw his exit velocities jump up in that range. The barrel rates are better with Kirk. He doesn't hit the ball on the ground as much. So I think the price difference on those two is pretty weird to see, just given that people are still very high on Gabby Moreno. I know catchers don't score, have a lot of counting stats. It's just funny to look at and see him score 39 runs last year. I don't know why. I was just scrolling by. I was like, that's weird. 39 runs and 45 RBI. Just like, yeah, that's weird. But aside the point, like, I think he's fine. I just don't think he's that great. He's going to be 25. Sure, it's still young, but Kirk's 26, so it's a year gap there. I don't know. Like, I'm fine with Moreno. Like, it's a catcher two, maybe. But, like, he's not somebody that I'm, like, actively going out and targeting.
If I recall correctly, did Moreno hit a lot of home runs in spring training last year? Or was that...
He might have. I don't know. Let's see if I...
Just kind of, like, wondering, because he only had 5 last year. Did he hit more in, like, spring training than he did in regular season? I can't remember.
2 years ago, he hit 3. 2023 spring training, he had 3 in 33 plate appearances. This year is just 1, but...
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would love... Just get the double digits, dude. Just get, like, 10 to 12. I mean, it's not too much to ask, maybe. But, I mean, I still think he's fine. I mean, he's not in the starting catcher territory right now. Fine number 2 catcher in 2 catcher formats. And maybe if he can get in double-digit home runs, maybe he gets to that back-end starter range. But, I mean, I think that's probably, you know, the cap for him. All right, one more name here before we get into our breakout picks. Joey Bart had some signs of life last year after a pretty lackluster career entering 2024. Hit 265, 337, 462 with 13 home runs and 282 plate appearances. You know, metrics were definitely better. They don't jump off the page at you. 9.5% barrel rate, EV around 88 miles an hour, hard hit rate around 39%. You know, contact rates did improve as well to around 84% in zone and 74% overall. So better than he had been there. You know, again, they don't wow you, but I don't think anyone ever expected Bart, at least lately, maybe back when he was a prospect, sure, but not lately, thought he would jump up into C1 territory as a starting catcher. But do you think there's some legitimacy to what we saw from him this past year, Chris? Do you think he can stick and, maybe as like a C2 option, top 20 type of guy at this position?
Yeah, I do. It's one of those cases where it's just a severe post-hype guy. He was obviously a high draft pick, second overall, and back in 2018. Sometimes it just takes guys longer to develop. And do I actually buy, Bart's hot stretch? Not fully. Like, he did some good things. Like, he is pretty aggressive. He takes some big swings. Got good bat speed, barrel the ball. But there's still some whiff and strikeout issues that are a little concerning. But at the end of the day, like, I think that there is appeal, like, from a SP2 standpoint. Like, if you're in a two-catcher format, like, I think Bart can bring enough to the table. One of the bigger issues is just he just hasn't stayed on the field enough to actually give you production. Like, there was production last year. It was just 282 plate appearances. He hasn't gone north of 350, I'm counting back, at any point of his career. So, like, can he stay durable enough to actually play? I mean, Steamer has him at 475, but that's a big ask if you've never gone above 350 at any point in your career. So I think that's just something to keep in mind. Like, we did see a notable improvement in contact. Like, I think that's obviously important. You look at the chase rate. It was down a little bit. Ground balls were way up, too. So I think Bart's an interesting one to watch, but I think that he is serviceable, like, from a catcher two standpoint.
Yeah, and if he does stay on the field, at least for 450 plate appearances, he could have some good RBI totals. At least projected lineup for on-roster resource has him hitting cleanup behind Brian Reynolds and O'Neill Cruz. And it's basically Reynolds, Cruz, and then seven question marks after them in the lineup. But if he's sitting right behind those two, good amount of RBIs right there. But, I don't think he's ever going to be top 12, top 15 catcher. But could he be in that 16 to 20 range, a solid C2? Yeah, I think he's going to have a chance here in Pittsburgh. They do have Andy Rodriguez coming back this year. But, maybe they DH him, or maybe they use him, both of them a catcher, and Bart DHs as well. Like, I don't think Bart's playing time is going to be affected so much by Andy, because there's plenty of at-bats to go around. They don't have anybody, locked into DH, so they can put ND there. So I think Bart's, if you can say healthy, is going to get a shot this year to, maybe be that full-time guy. So I think there's some intrigue there for sure. All right, let's round out the show with our breakout pick here. Chris, who you got?
Yeah, honestly, I struggle with this one a lot. Like, it seems like some of the guys that were candidates already broke out, and we didn't want to go with a prospect. We already did a full prospect episode. So, I've kind of worked through some of these, and I ultimately landed on Austin Wells, who, I liked a lot before the 2024 season. I thought that Wells was actually pretty well suited to have a big year, and I would say his season was relatively disappointing, but he did put together a pretty strong second half, which does give some encouragement. I know his into the season wasn't all that great. Like, he did struggle down the stretch, but you look overall, and I think there is some things to like, especially you look in July forward. Let's filter back actually to July 5th. He had a home run July 4th and had a pretty good stretch from there on out. While he had a down September that kind of affected the slash line, he did hit 10 home runs in his final 248 plate appearances with 9 doubles and a triple. Drove him 42 runs. Like, that's a good spot to be. The strikeout rate was good at 20%. Like, that was obviously down. The slash line was fine. 240, 330, 432. Like, you'd love to see better, but it's not like that was bad. The exit velocity's trending in the right direction. He barreled up balls at 11% clip from that stretch forward. And even looking at, like, the contact, like, the plate discipline skills, there were some notable improvements there. Wells had a 85% zone contact rate from July forward. The overall contact rate was solid, 76%. And he chased at just a 26.5% clip, too. So those things you like to see. We know Wells can hit for power. I don't think there's any kind of questioning that at all. Just seeing the contact rates develop with him in the second half, seeing him barrel the ball more, this could be a hitter's haven for Wells as a lefty being in Yankee Stadium. Like, that porch just plays perfect for somebody like this. He's just 25 years old. He won't be 26 till near the All-Star break next year. So, yeah, I'm buying in on Austin Wells for a breakout here. Feels like a kind of like an easy call, just given the catcher pool and a strong second half. But, you know, I think there's more here. I think we could see Wells have a 20 home run season pretty easily with respectable slash line.
Yeah, I like Wells a lot as well. I think I have him 10th in my ranking. Yeah, I have him 10th overall. I think he could jump up a few spots for sure. Could have been, again, I don't think he's a, you know, tier one guy either, but I think he could be definitely in the higher part of tier two. My guy is going to be Ivan Herrera from the St. Louis Cardinals, or excuse me, Ivan Herrera, my apologies, of the St. Louis Cardinals, who had a sneaky good year in 2024. Slash 301, 372, 428, 259 plate appearances, 5 home runs, and 5 steals as well. As we, you know, talked about earlier in the episode, Wilson Contreras moving out from behind catcher this year. So you think nice little uptick in playing time for Herrera. Yeah, Pedro Páez is there as well. But don't think he's going to... I mean, I think he's going to be the backup to Herrera. You know, obviously, he'll take some time, but I think you can see Herrera's, you know, plate appearances double this year. He had 259. You know, maybe not fully double, but I think you can see him get up in like that 450 to 500 range this year. And the metrics are pretty solid across the board. He had a 9% barrel rate, average GV 89.3, hard hit rate 42%, so, you know, above average quality of contact. Started hitting less ground balls, more fly balls this year, and line drives. So you saw both the fly ball and line drive rate go up pretty big. This was his first year with, I mean, 2023 is only 44 play appearances, so it's hard to take much from that. But seeing him hit more line drive and fly balls was encouraging. He's above average in terms of zone contact, around league average, and overall contact. And do I think he's a hit 301 again? No. But could he hit 270? Absolutely. I think the contact skills, again, are solid. The approach is good as well. 9.7% walk rate, 20.5%. Strikeout rate doesn't chase too often. He has a better than league average chase rate as well. So I think there's a lot of good here. And I think if you see him get another 200, 225 or so plate appearances, and something like, you know, 270, 275 is in play. I think he could be like 65, 70 runs, 12 to 15 home runs, you know, sprinkling a few handful of steals again. So I think, is he going to be a stud? No. Top 10? Probably not. Could he be, you know, get into that back end C1 starting catcher range? Yeah, I think he absolutely could. And he's someone you can get for a pretty low price tag right now because there's still not a lot of hype around him. Obviously, he hasn't really played a whole lot yet, but 24 years old, good metrics under the hood, pretty much across the board. So that's, you know, a low-cost investment I'd be looking to make right now in Dynasty Leagues. That's going to wrap up our show and the catcher position. We'll be back again next week. We'll start with the two episodes next week, a little scheduling issue this past week with me, so we'll get two episodes out next week going over to first base, and then we'll be two episodes consistently moving forward after that. But until then, everyone take care.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.